Parshas Bo'i is a fascinating parsha that obviously has within it, as we would consider, the beginning of the Torah in mitzvahs. Of course, we have various mitzvahs beforehand, Bris Milah, Ve'evi Menachai. But Rashi, beginning of the parasha, beginning of the Sefer, asks, why do we have the Torah beginning with Bereishis? It could have started with Achid Shezelechem, which in fact really means we're gearing up to, as we know, the book of instructions of the Torah really begins from here. And within one of the first mitzvahs Klal Yisrael received, before the Torah was given, is a mitzvah that is, I think, a little bit confusing, the purpose behind it, the concept behind it, and the stringencies and the related mitzvahs are rather unique when it comes to this particular thing. And that is the mitzvah, Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael to have to eat matzah. So we're sitting by the Seder night. So we are sitting at the Seder night. Some of us don't have oat matzahs. We have the good old fashioned wheat matzahs. We're sitting by the Seder night.
Nobody said nothing about the gluten free matzah.
Gluten free? No. That's a Rashi. Anyway, so we have our matzahs. And why do we have matzahs? Our matzahs are shema. Yeah, al shema. Actually, he speak ubnei Yisrael, but seikom left Mitzrayim. The botseik was not able to rise. Now that is why we have matzah. And in fact, in the parasha we see very clearly, Rabbi Shalom tells Klal Yisrael on Aleph Nisan, you're going to be leaving Mitzrayim. And if on the 15th day you should have the Korban Pesach, al matzos umroirim yoichluhu, you should eat a Korban Pesach with matzos umroirim. Nothing to do with the fact that Klal Yisrael were not able to leave Mitzrayim. Have enough time.
He said it on the
Aleph Nisan. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, by the way, I'm telling you, you have a chiv to eat matzahs. Chiv to eat matzahs.
They knew already.
It wasn't as if never had enough time.
It's nothing new.
Nothing new. Yeah. It says very clearly in the pasuk that Kodesh Baruch Hu told them that's what's going to happen. Furthermore, we find that matzah has a very, very unique, the chometz of matzah is very, very unique. The halachos of chometz matzah is something which we don't find anywhere else. We find that the only issa on Pesach, which is very chomor, is a issa to eat chometz. Issa to eat chometz. A person who eats a gezayis chometz on Pesach, modern Islam, is a chiv koris. It's a chiv koris. And we don't find any other mitzvah in the Torah, in the Hilchus Pesach, where there's a chiv koris. There's a Korban Pesach. If you don't do it, then it's a Chiv Koris. But if it's B'shoigeg, there's no Chiv Koris. Here, there's even a Chiv Malkus if it's B'shoigeg, which is a very, very Choma Avera. And a person eats Kzayis Chomets, which is opposite to Matzah, obviously. It's a very, very Choma. To the extent that we don't find there is any din of bottle B'shishim when it comes to Chomets. Normally, by Chomets, by everything else, is bottle B'shishim. There's no bottle B'shishim by Chomets. Even a Mashuhu is also. So we have on one hand, what's the idea behind matzah? The idea of we leaving Mitzrayim was enough time. And then we have, it's not really because that's the case. It's because Rabbi Shimon told them already beforehand that you have to eat matzahs. So on the first year when they ate matzahs, what was the purpose behind that? Furthermore, it says you didn't have enough time. Rabbi Shimon freed Klal Yisrael by Makos Bechoris took place at midnight. Klal Yisrael were not allowed to leave Mitzrayim until the morning. So they had plenty of time to bake normal bread. Well, they didn't have enough time. Okay, I had plenty of time. Yeah, plenty of time. I had from the night until the morning. We did not run away like thieves in the middle of the night. We waited till the next morning. They had plenty of time to bake the matzahs. La yochel is from me. Didn't have time. What's the day behind that? And finally, obviously, there's a tremendous thing of Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim and being rushed out. Even if you say that theme is a correct theme, that they're rushed out. For sure, there's a tremendous mitzvah to be rushed out and the Klal Yisrael be able to leave Mitzrayim so quickly that it didn't have enough time, whatever that may mean. But why make that a central theme of Pesach? The theme of the Bechlal left Mitzrayim, that they had the ability to leave Mitzrayim. All those millions of people left Mitzrayim from a place where it was impossible for a single slave to leave, with the Makas Bechiris and the Choshech and the Bor and all the tremendous nisim beforehand, that they left Mitzrayim isn't a tremendous nace. Chon, you don't know this, but if you try getting your wife out of the house, when you're on the way to the chasna, it's a nace, right? Can you imagine getting those hundreds of thousands of women? Quick, we've got to leave, right? And there's a baby, bottles, and then there's. Well, I forgot to
turn. Find out soon.
You'll find out. Yeah, right. And it's a nace. Why? So why focus?
Secretly.
What's that?
Secretly.
Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely, and understand this, to make this a central theme of Pesach, make a central theme that they left so quickly that they had to have matzah, they couldn't have chametz, and therefore if you eat chametz as a koris, why connect it to that if really the big ness was leaving Mitzrayim, not the haste that went into it? What's the day behind this? Yes.
Chronologically, did we have matzah for the first Korban Pesach?
Yeah.
There's already the night before.
Yeah, yeah. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, on Perek Yud Beis, the Posuk says, in Posuk Tesvov, Shivas Yom Matzis Techila Ach Bimish Tashivas Oy Betechem, no, before that. Posuk Ches. Sorry, Posuk Ches says, V'ochlus Abosu Balayla Hazeh, on that night, Tzli Eish Umatzis Amrei Rim Yachaluhu, you should eat a matzah somewhere.
Which couldn't possibly be in a memory of
anything. No. No, exactly. 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 Yeah. So exactly. So that was a mitzvah long before the memory of not being able to leave. So why somehow connect one to the other? What's the idea behind that? So it's exactly. So why don't we make the ness, the eating a matzah to remind us what happened in Mitzrayim, rather than make it because we were rushed out and didn't have. What's the idea behind that? So I want to work on one particular derech. Come back to some of the questions later, Bezos Hashem, if you have time. Rav Neventhal has a most beautiful mahalach. There's a most beautiful mahalach in his sichus on the parasha.
It takes longer to make matzahs than bread. You've got to leave the water all night. It takes longer than to make bread.
The process of bread making is an extended period. It does, you're not involved in it as much. We'll get back to that, Bezos Hashem. B'nai Soskal talks. We'll get back to that, Bezos Hashem. But let's focus on this point first.
Did they eat bread in the 40 years that they were in the desert, or they only ate matzah altogether? I mean, Pesach, no Pesach.
No, they had matzah for quite a while until they received them on. Yeah, they were eating matzahs until they received them on.
All that time they didn't have any bread.
No, they had matzahs. They had matzahs, right? But they had matzahs for a certain period of time, and then the mon started. Okay, let's understand this. So he says as follows. He says, now let's go back to the point of why is it so important to remember the miracle of, because it was so quick that Klal Yisrael to leave Mitzrayim in such a short period of time, that was what made everything so important that we have to have matzahs today that can't become chometz. What's the day behind that? And he says like this. He says that chometz and matzah are two opposites. Chometz is a concept of Yetzer Hara. It's so Ur should be Isa, we should all know, is a Yetzer Hara. And matzah is the exact opposite. Matzah is a concept of working on your midas, constantly focusing on what's going on, not neglecting any moment of just leaving things, just continue the way they are. Focus. Matzah and chometz are two opposites. Matzah is to an extent anova, chometz is extent over bloated, which is gaiva. And there's elements over there, what's going on. Now, Klal Yisrael had to leave Mitzrayim in a very, very short period of time. Why is that? So the Mefarshim bring down, it's brought down from the Zayah Kodesh, that Klal Yisrael were in Mentes Shari Tumah, then a 49th level of Tumah. And that 49th level of Tumah meant that if Chalila, they would have reached another 50th level of Tumah, they could have never, ever have left Mitzrayim. They would have been too far gone. It would have been lost completely. Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim were Oivdei Avodah Zarah. They were almost non-recognizable between them and the Mitzrayim. By Makkos Bechorus, for example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to be the one who went along and did the Makkos Bechorus, because a Malach could not recognize the difference between a Jew and a Mitzray. Yes, they never changed their language and never changed their names. I'm sorry?
Yeah,
but
and you can recognize.
Okay, that's but the Mitzrayim came into the house as well.
Yeah,
and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to recognize that. That's why he couldn't do that. Yeah, that was a hishtadlus of the Jew to create a Mesiris Nefesh to allow him not to fall to the 50th level. Yeah, but the idea was that Klal Yisrael were just about out of Mitzrayim, and if they would have Chalila fallen that level, that would have been over. And in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out of that level, and he promised them they will never again, as a nation, fall to that level again. And he says, Lo Isim, oh, you never go back to Mitzrayim, will never reach that level, that will never ever happen again. We find furthermore, even once they left Mitzrayim, by Kriyas Yamsuf, it says that the Yam, yeah, The Yam didn't want to split. He said, why should I split? Which means even at the Yam Suf there was this debate, who was, why is Klal Yisrael more special? Which means there was a very, very fine line between the 49th level and the 50th level. Which means that the whole difference, listen to this carefully, the whole difference between Klal Yisrael being an Am Nivcho, being a chosen nation, going towards Har Sinai, being a nation that will be forever and ever a light unto the nation, or being a completely eradicated, lost nation, was something that ultimately was a few minutes or a few seconds made all that difference. The difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving us and becoming who we are today, or being like all the Am Umis for Olam, probably Sof for Olam as well, if there's no Klal Yisrael, there's no Am Nivcha, there's no Torah, the world would have been destroyed, most probably, was just a very, very short period of time. So the idea over here was as follows, that the Chometz and the Matzah represented the difference between the Jew and the Goy. The difference between being saved and being not saved. A matzah is a matzah which is kosher. A matzah, if you eat on Seder night, that is less than 18 minutes and it hasn't risen, is a mitzvah asei da'iraisa. Asher kiddushonu b'mitzvayso v'tzivonu al achilas matzah. It's a mitzvah asei da'iraisa. But, if you are slightly, a few seconds later, and you don't deal with that matzah, it doesn't not turn into matzah. It's lost. It becomes chometz. It becomes a chiv kores. It is a disaster. Which means chometz and matzah is represents the difference between how the Jews could have been and how they ultimately were. The fine line between absolute perfection, which is a matzah, and absolute terrible kores, which is chometz, is what happened in the night of Seder night. But Kodesh Baruch Hu saved us just in time. That is a message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us before the Torah is given. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us the difference between tzidkus and rishus, between a Jew and a goy, between chometz and matzah, is not something which is massive, huge differences of madregus. There are very, very fine elements of what's right and what's wrong that differentiates between what's good and what's bad. The Gemara says that the havdol ben achayim ben ha'tohir ben ha'tomei, yeah, talks about by a kosher animal and a trefa animal, and that's the difference between a kosher baruch will separate you from the goyim. And if you don't make that difference between a kosher animal and not kosher animal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats you like the children of Nebuchadnezzar. What's pshat? So what's a kosher animal, not the kosher animal? So the Mefarshim, the Gemara brings down, it's not referring to the difference between an elephant and a cow. Yeah, kosher and not kosher animal. It means a kosher animal, which means it was shechted correctly, and an animal that's not shechted correctly. What animal shechted correctly? Where you shecht and you slaughter more than half of the simonim, half of it, more than half of its neck. Right? If it's a chutas sa'ira, if it's a hairbreadth less than that, it's not kosher animal. The difference between treif and kosher is a chutas sa'ira. And he goes even further more than that. And he said, this is brilliant. The Torah commands us to shech the Korban Pesach bein ha'arbaim. When is bein ha'arbaim? What's bein ha'arbaim? Rabbis, what does ha'arbaim mean? Anyone? What's bein ha'arbaim? When is that time? On Erev Pesach bein ha'arbaim. When is bein ha'arbaim?
After.
So Rashi, exactly, Rashi says after Chatzos, bein ha'arbaim, which means is going towards the evening. In other words, it's peaked. The sun has peaked and it's going towards the west. That's Rashi's Peshat. The Ramban disagrees, yeah? And Ibn Ezra, very, very strongly, who is the master of language, points out that Rashi cannot possibly be right. And Ayn Shom the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra's Peshat of Ben Arbaim means when, what we would call Ben Hashmoshes. What we would call Ben Hashmoshes. It's a time, it's in Shkia time. Yeah, it's Shkia time. Ben Arbaim means Shkia time, which means it is almost, it's past day but not yet night, which means it's a very, very short period of time. It's a very, very short. Twilight. That's Ben Arbaim. Ben Arbaim is twilight. Yeah. Ben Arbaim, which means the Torah tells us Shech the Korban Pesach by twilight. The question is, we don't do that. It's not Shaykh. Klal Yisrael, we're talking about the time of the Beis Hamikdash, there's sometimes hundreds of thousands, even millions of Korbanos of Korban Pesach. It's not possible to do that. So the Gemara brings down that you're allowed to do it earlier from Chatzos if necessary. But the Torah, the way it describes when Pesach should be brought, is Ben Harbaim, which means in that very short time between not day, just night. Why give us that very, very small window when in fact you can shecht much earlier? The answer is, says Rav Nevenzahl, is to explain to us again that what Pesach represents is the time between Ben Harbaim. It is not day and night. It is that small window of the difference between not night. Once you do it at night, it's too late. It's now it's day. Once it gets night, it's no good. Now it's matzah. Once a little bit longer, it's chometz. Now it's 49, a little bit longer, it's 50. In other words, the delicate elements of what's good and what's bad is not the grub, terrible and excellent. It is a very fine details that make all the difference in Yiddishkeit. The manners, the derech eretz, the extra koyach hatfilah, the extra diktik in halacha, the extra honesty that a Jew is expected from him. It's not whether the guy is a murderer or he's not a murderer. It's an extra derech eretz, the extra respect to give another person is what makes all the difference between something that's good and something that's bad. That is the first lesson that we have in this from Rav Nevenzahl. 49.
Over dessert.
The 49 levels.
They did not change Malmusham, and they were so have this fit.
They because you can have a person who's dressed like a Jew and has a Jewish name and speaks Yiddish and could be over the Zohar.
Half Jew.
No, you could be over the Zohar. Yeah. So that is the first lesson. The Mechilta has a very, very interesting understanding of it. The Mechilta says, what's Peshat when we say that the bread did not become chometz? Of course it didn't become chometz. It had the whole night. What's the idea behind this? What's the idea the bread did not become chometz? What's the idea behind that? So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Klal Yisrael. Right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Klal Yisrael with his Gilui Shechina, ultimately, nature has to change. In other words, what does it take to make a bread chometz? You have three elements. You need, there's water, there's flour, and time. Water, flour, and time is what makes something turn chometz. If you take out an element of time, then it doesn't turn chometz anymore. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megala himself, was Gilui Shechina, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is above time, who is totally disconnected to time, he made time, as it were, become irrelevant. Stop. Time did not have a place in one of those, was not one of those three elements over here that could make something chometz. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael on the first of Nisan, you must eat matzah because there was such a rush, never had time. Not Peshat, it never had time. Never had time means not that it never had time on the watch. Never had time means time did not exist that night. Time wasn't relevant on that night. It wasn't possible for something to turn chometz. They left it there. There wasn't an element of time that you need for something to turn chometz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Klal Yisrael, I'm just telling you, on the night of Seder night, there will not be chometz. There will be matzah. I'm commanding you to eat matzah because it won't be possible to have chometz. Time does not exist. When there's Gilui Shechina, when there's Rebbein Shalom in the world, he takes out something that's called time. There is no time. Is no time means physically. Not that we're short of time, it just never existed. And that's why the whole night, why did the bread not turn into chometz? Because the poshet never had the time element that made sense at that time. That's a mechilta, a beautiful piece. Which means, let's understand this, says Rav Schwab, Klal Yisrael were sitting in Mitzrayim dreaming about the time of their redemption. Till now they're under pressure. You eat matzah. Matzah is poor man's bread. Yeah, why? Because you don't have time enough for it to rise. You've got to quickly put it in the oven and eat it because you're going to get beaten. Otherwise, you're not back on your on back on the what's it called line, the assembly line. Right? You're going to get beaten. So they were looking forward to the time where they can become the free men. On the night of Pesach, they're going to be the free man, and Baruch Hu is going to free them, and now they can just allow the bread to rise. Comes on Coach Baruch and says, no. Till now, you couldn't allow your bread to rise because you had a mitzvah on top of you. Now there's Gilui Shechina and your bread doesn't rise because I'm here. You have swapped Your bread of affliction, lechem oini, with a chayrus of I'm in control over here. I am here now, and therefore it cannot possibly be that time exists, and therefore your bread doesn't turn into chametz. So therefore, Rav Schwab used to say, if you ask somebody who doesn't know much about Yiddishkeit, what represents a bread of luxury, of freedom? A big fluffy roll, a big fluffy bread, or you have a flat bread which tastes like cardboard? So he said, obviously, you'll imagine. He says, no, the idea over here is Rabbeinu Shlomo is saying, until now you never had the ability to have your own time. Now your time isn't yours. Your time belongs to me. It's mine. And that is the biggest chayrus a person can have. The chayrus of matzah is when a person gives over his desires, his instincts, his challenges, and says, Rabbeinu Shlomo, I'm totally in your hands. I'm following your orders. When a person does that, ein ben choin el misha oisik b'toira, a person who allows Rabbeinu Shlomo to dictate what he should be doing every moment of his life, and that reins in his own passions and desires, which makes a person crazy, that is a chayrus. So the night of Pesach is a fact that we have to give over to Rabbeinu Shlomo everything. That it's all yours, Rabbeinu Shlomo. Our chayrus is yours. That's lechem best ben chayrin, and that is why the smallest amount. Of who I am, of chometz, is enough to make a person chayv koris. He's disconnected himself from the Jewish people. He's disconnected himself from the reality of what it means to be an Eved Hashem. I just want to finish off with a beautiful Bnei Yisoscha we brought earlier on. Bnei Yisoscha says, what is the idea behind chometz and matzah? He says, the difference between chometz and matzah is, chometz is something that you're allowed to develop itself. You put a bit of flour and you water and you mix it and you leave it. Matzah is something that you've got to constantly work on. You see the matzah things, they don't leave it for a second. They're working on it and they're rolling it and they're beating it and the whole time you're working on it. He says chometz is a concept where a person believes, Rabbeinu Shleilam, there's you and there's me. Never Masyol Zozang Zun used to say, a maimon today is a person says, Rabbeinu Shleilam, I believe in you. I know you're around. I know you do panosa, but do me a favor. I know how to do business. Don't get involved. Don't mess up. Yeah? That is a maimon today. That's a maimon. He says, to understand what chometz and matzah is somebody who ultimately is worked on and understands. The Rabbeinu Shleilam, at every single moment of his life, controls every movement and everything in nature is through the Rabbeinu Shleilam. I'm Ben Chayrin. I don't have to drive myself crazy at work. I don't have to do something which is unscrupulous. I don't have to put extra hours on the cheshbon of the family. I'm a Ben Chayrin. I'm free. Every single second, it's Rabbeinu Shleilam. If you think at any moment that you are involved and Rabbeinu Shleilam is not involved, it turns automatically into matzah, into chometz. That is koris. That is a disconnection. You've blown everything. There's only twice in the rest of the year that a person's allowed to have chometz in a base of Mikdosh. And now to Shtei Alechem. Shtei Alechem is on Shavuos. Shavuos is again where Torah dictates who is in control. And the other time is when a person brings a Korban Torah. A person's been through a difficult time. He's been at Eivah Yam or he's been in prison. And he comes out and he realizes, Rabbeinu Shleim, thank you for saving me. That again is throwing everything he can to the Rabbeinu Shleim. And therefore, in that situation, he can eat chometz because Rabbeinu Shleim is in control. So basically, why did Klal Yisrael have this mitzvah of matzah before the left Mitzrayim? Because it gives us so many ideas of the fundamentals of what we should be working on. Firstly, as Rav Nevensal said, it's a concept that the difference between good and bad, the difference between chometz and matzah, the difference between memtesh sharabinach and 49 levels of tumah and the 50th level is a minute amount. The difference between a mensch and not a mensch is by the small details, it's not with the big details. And also the idea of the chometz and matzah is the idea of like Rav Schwab said, that Rabbeinu Shleilam is the one who, when he gave his Gilui Shechina, time never existed. We give over our time, we give over our life to the Rabbeinu Shleilam. We change masters from Paro to Rabbeinu Shleilam. And finally, what he said from the Bnei Yisoscha, that it's all about believing and understanding. It's a Hashkocha Protis. Rabbeinu Shleilam runs the world the whole time. We don't have to invest extra time and extra effort. We leave it to the Rabbeinu Shleilam, and he runs everything. If you don't believe that, then it's chometz.